Wake Up with Robbie and Wendy for breakfast on ABC Radio Sydney.
The news this morning that the Prime Minister has said we'll have these vaccine passports by next month. Well, what are they going to look like? And more importantly, how will they work? Can they operate, not be counterfeitable? That's not a word, but, you know, can they be counterfeited? Adrian Esterman is an epidemiologist and biostatistics expert at the University of South Australia and a former epidemiologist with the World Health Organisation. Morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Robbie and Wendy.
Of course, Adrian, we hear all the time, you know, our older listeners say, well, you know, once upon a time you had to go and get all your vaccinations and have a little certificate and, you know, you weren't allowed to travel into some countries without it. Times have changed, of course. So what has to be put in place here to make these passports recognisable all around the world and certified, all that?
Yeah, look, in fact, times haven't changed that much because we still need a certificate against yellow fever in certain countries. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the issues here is that we're calling them passports, but not really passports. I mean, passports are about identity, mm-hmm. and these aren't about identity. These are just certifying that you've been vaccinated. And listen, I've been expecting these for months now, and I've been talking about them for months.
Yep.
Many other countries are using them. Airlines are using them. So it was going to happen. It's really a matter of when and what format they would take.
Well, just give us a few of those options. What are the possibilities when it comes to format?
Well, usually it's a digital signature on your smartphone so that it would actually declare that you've been vaccinated and say when you were vaccinated and what the vaccine was. And other countries are also including testing details, so say when you were last tested. And at the moment, I would imagine it would only be PCR testing. Rapid antigen testing wouldn't be accepted because it would have to be certified by a proper laboratory.
So this would all be on our phone. What about for those folk who don't have phones, Adrian? How would they get on?
I imagine they would potentially be able to get a certificate like a passport, which would certify that they've been vaccinated.
Adrian,
but, I mean, who doesn't have a smartphone these days?
Yeah, most people do, I guess. Adrian, we know that there's been some confusion or concern about particularly the recognition of AstraZeneca internationally. And am I right that the part of the changing of the name of AstraZeneca was to do with it being recognised internationally when it comes to vaccinations? Can you give us an idea of how that's going to work when we do finally go overseas?
Sure. Look, all vaccines have got their, you know, their formal name, like CXH002 or whatever. Then they have a sort of a brand name. Mm. So the AstraZeneca is the manufacturer, but it's not the brand name, okay? And this is true for all vaccines. So the change was going to happen anyway. I don't think it was so much so it will be recognised. With AstraZeneca, one of the big problems is that it's manufactured all over the world, including Australia. And for some time, the UK and I think still some European countries would not accept the people vaccinated with the AstraZeneca made in India. Possibly because of quality control issues, but that's being discussed now and WHO is discussing it and so on. So eventually there will have to be mutual recognition of vaccines. I mean, for example, give an example. In Taiwan now, they've just authorised a vaccine made in Taiwan, so one of the first to be made locally in that part of the world. But it's not been through phase 3 trials.
Mm.
Right. So other countries would be very reluctant to authorise it.
Yeah. If you were to put on the list, Adrian, where we might be able to go, where would you nominate? come on.
Well, look, you talk about personally.
Not personally.
So I'd probably go over there.
We should ask you personally.
No, not personally. I mean, who is going to be, do you think, in a position to be able to accept people on vaccine passports? Which countries?
Well, many countries do it already. So you've got the USA, UK, most of Europe, in fact, all of Europe. So all of those countries, if I was wanting to go travelling, which I do a lot before COVID hit, I'd want to go to countries where they were not suffering under major outbreaks with very nasty variants. So I'd keep clear of South America. I would probably keep clear of most of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably go to Europe or the USA.
Yep. How about Japan?
Asking for a friend.
Japan, unfortunately, is in the middle of a major outbreak.
Yeah.
So a little bit reluctant.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you have seen this, Adrian, but Singapore, as we know, has 80% of the population vaccinated, fully vaccinated, but they are talking about reintroducing COVID-19 restrictions if the Delta variant isn't contained. They went towards opening up, living with the virus, but now they're up to 1,200 cases in this past week. So they're worried about that. So I guess things can change at any time. There's no guarantees here.
That's absolutely correct. The Netherlands did exactly the same thing. They had their own Freedom Day.
Yeah.
And within 2 weeks, numbers went up from 600 a day to 7,000 a day.
Whoa.
So they had to bring lockdown back in.
Yeah.
This is the big worry. The government keeps talking about relaxing restrictions when we get to 70% or 80%. You simply can't do it because in New South Wales, our hospitals are creaking at the seams at the moment. You know, if you're getting, you know, 300-400 cases a day coming in, they simply won't manage.
Yeah. So now
it's not the time to open up. Now's the time to dampen, you know, to shut the hatches, keep these numbers down until we do get a very high percentage of the population fully vaccinated.
Yeah. So if the Prime Minister is talking about having these passports available within weeks, you think that's going too fast?
Well, it depends what weeks are. If weeks are, do you mean Christmas? I'd say no. But if weeks are October, I'd say yes.
All right. Good on you, Adrian. Really appreciate your time.
It's a pleasure. Nice to speak to you about it.
Yeah, you too. Adrian Esterman, who's an epidemiologist and biostatistics expert at the University of South Australia and a former epidemiologist connected with the World Health Organisation.
Richmond.
Woollahra.
Balgowlah.
Parramatta. Carlingford.
Petersham.
Rockdale.
Randwick.
On ABC Radio Sydney, this is Breakfast.